7, verse 7. And I'm not going to say this is going to be a 12-minute message, but that's going to stay my record for a while when the prophet came. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. If we could all stand for the reading of the word of the Lord. Jesus said, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you because you have given us such wonderful testimonies. You have given us such wonderful gifts, dear God. And we thank you, Father, today as we honor every single one of those who minister in service for you and make this church possible, Father, to function and to run as it does. And we are looking in 2017 for greater things, Lord. We are looking for more teachers, God. We are looking for more ushers, Father. We are looking for more people to enter into the service of the kingdom of God. We are looking, dear God, for more children to come alongside and begin to feel the call and the anointing of God in their life. And we are going to put them to work in the service of the Lord God Almighty. We are going to teach them to pray. We are going to teach them to separate themselves. We are going to teach them to honor themselves as a creation of the Almighty God. And Father, we say to the enemy, we will not come down to the devil's level. We say that we will pray our children in. We say that we will get on our hands and knees and call out their name, Father, in the name of Jesus, that your name will be glorified within our children. And God, we give you praise and honor and glory in the precious name of Jesus. Let the whole church shout. Amen. Shout. Now I want you to turn around and shake hands with two or three people. Amen. Show yourself in fellowship. So on last week, we began to learn something very different about the message that we're studying about Ezekiel's wheel. Now, there are seven principles at work within the wheel. They are hunt, find, wash, clothe, armor, battle, and build. And that process goes around and around and around and around in the life of the believer so that they can begin to move from glory to glory and they begin to do what God has called them to do. But a lot of people, they hunt for something and then they find something and they don't do anything with it. Or they just think that all they have to do is show up. And this is such an apropos message that came right on today when we are honoring those who are serving the Lord. Because I don't know how you want to serve the Lord, but I want to serve him in excellence. I want to serve him with the absolute utmost best that I have to offer, and every area that I serve him in, I want to learn between now and next year when we're honoring people. I want to do it better. I want to do it with more excellence. I want to do it with more passion. I want to be able to multiply out by learning how to scoot over and let other people come alongside and make the ministry that God has placed within our hands powerful. Amen. So I guess what I'm trying to say is, there ain't no jealousy up in here. Amen. I want you to be anointed. I want you to be highly anointed. I want you to sing better than me. I want you to pray better than me. I want you to preach better than me. I want you to learn how to intercede better than me. I want you to learn in the name of Jesus how to do everything at such a level that you feel like you're just going to bust wide open. Because God deserves that. God deserves that. And I'm proud when you excel. I am very proud. And if you don't excel, I'm going to be calling you in my office and coming alongside of you and helping you to figure out what you need to do it better. Amen. And if I don't know, me and you are going to join hands and we're going to pray together in the name of Jesus and we're going to figure it out. Amen. Amen. So we are beginning to look deeper into each of these stages. And last week we began to look at the stage where we are searching or seeking or hunting for something in our life. This February 19th will make 40 years since I got saved. And most of you know my testimony, so I'm not going to go real deeply into it, but I'm going to tell you, I was almost dead. And I was seeking for something to leave a legacy. And what I found was something even greater than just a legacy. I found the Lord who breathed life into me. Amen. He breathed life into my body when it looked as though I wasn't going to be able to live much longer. And so I found something. I found something in him. See, Jesus was very clear when he says, seek and you will find. You will find him. I had a conversation. Somebody said, God has never spoken to me, and this is said to me a lot. And I want to say this to you because that conversation has just been in my heart all night as I began to wake up and things like that. That conversation was in my heart. I want to say this to you. God has spoken to you. God has. You may not know how to recognize it as his voice yet. But he has spoken to you. Do you think that I'm smart enough to get up here and preach every week? I'm going to tell you I'm not. Do you think that I'm smart enough to pastor a church? I'm going to tell you I'm not. But there's something about the Spirit of God that he begins to speak to my heart. And I may think it's my own conscience. I may think that it's my own voice. I may think that it's me that's devising these words on the inside of me. But I'm going to tell you, I'm standing here as a witness to you. The voice that speaks inside of my spirit is smarter than me. He is stronger than me. He tells me to do things that I would never, ever do. He leads me through places that in the natural I would be afraid to go. He walks with me and he talks with me and he lets me know that everything is going to be okay. He lets me know that I can do it when it feels as though I can't do it. He lets me know that it's okay for me to be a woman and to take him by the hand and to receive him as my covering to overshadow me and to lead me and to guide me in the name of Jesus Christ, because I was searching for something. I found it. Yeah. 40 years. And I can tell you that I've been through some hard stuff. But he went with me all the way. And see, we have to understand that as well. You're going to go through the stuff. The stuff that you was going to go through every day. And here's the question. If you have found Christ, why are you going through it by yourself? Why aren't you asking him to help you? Why aren't you asking him to open up the windows of heaven? Why aren't you telling him, I got my eyes set on you, Lord Jesus. Whatever's going on in my life around about me, I'm not looking at that. I'm hearing what you say in my heart. That is smarter than me, smarter than my own mind. That's what I'm looking to hear. Those words when you wake up in the middle of the night and they're not your words. That says, be at peace, daughter. Be at peace. Those are my words. Because in life there are times when we feel everything other than peace. So I want to run through some scriptures really quickly. Because in this particular passage of scripture in Matthew 7 and 7, there are three principles and three verses that God appeals to come in the name of Jesus. Ask, seek, and knock. Asking is verbal. And Christians use their mouths to petition God for their needs and their desires through prayer. Jesus says, ask and it shall be given to you. He also said, for everyone who asks receives. And I'm just going to run through these really quickly and just try to hold on to the pulpit and not elaborate very much. But James 4 and 2 says this, you lust and you have not. You kill and you desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not because you ask not. Some of you aren't praying. That's why you don't have the things that you need. You don't have the answers in your life that you need because you are not praying. And there's some other things too. Matthew 18 and 19 says that if any two of you will agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Matthew 21 and 22 says, in all things whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. John 14 and 14 says, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. John 15 and 7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. 1 John 3 and 22 says, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. 1 John 5, 14 and 15 says, and this is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. This gives us six basic principles of how to ask and how to find those things that we are searching for. Number one, how many of you have prayers that are not answered yet? And you have allowed those prayers to come out of your mouth. And you have prayed and truly ask God, because that's the first thing. If you do not ask, you will not receive. And beyond that, you need to be in agreement with other Christians, because your prayers go through spiritual warfare. We're taking a look at that in our Wednesday night Bible study on the spoken word of God. Your prayers go through spiritual warfare, and many times there are more than 1,000 demons that are assigned to stop your prayers. And if there are more than 1,000 demons assigned to you, you need somebody else to come alongside of you and to join hands with you in agreement and pray. Number two, you need to believe when you ask. Well, I'm going to ask him, but I just don't think he's going to do anything for me, because he ain't never done nothing for me. Well, por masito. And I know I say it wrong, but that's the white version. Number three, ask in Jesus' name. How do you pray? Is there a right or a wrong way to pray? No. There is a formula that can make it better. But if you don't know about the formula, you can just talk to God. There is not one prayer that he won't answer. Now, here's the caveat. He might say no. He might say not now. But the Bible says that we pray to God in Jesus' name. And so I start every prayer, Father, in the name of Jesus. Number four, abide in the Lord. Number five goes right along with that. Keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. You say, I don't know what's pleasing in his sight. Don't hand me that. Yes, you do. So if I'm just going to scold you on that. Yes, you do. You do. You go to take a drink of alcohol, what happens? That voice that you say never speaks to you says, don't do it. Right? God speaks to you. You think that's your voice? Your flesh wants that Mad Dog 2020. Oh, you know what it is. Right? Your flesh wants it. But there's a voice that says, don't do it. That's God. Recognize that as God. And the reason why God says don't do it is because it is not pleasing in his sight, because it is going to take you to a place to act stupid and to do things that you don't want to do. So don't tell me that you don't know what is pleasing in his sight. I promise you, you do. You do. And so, if you keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight, you receive when you ask. And then finally, number six, you ask according to his will. And I tell this story all the time because it blew me away as a young pastor that I think I've been pastoring 2, maybe 3 years. Woman came up in the prayer line and she, you know, they oh, Pastor Gail. Pastor Gail, I want to give the church a really big blessing. Did you miss the offering plate? Ushers! I want to give the church a really big blessing. If you pray that God will kill my husband, I'll give you half of the insurance money. And probably the look on my face caused her to elaborate. Well, he's worshiping the devil, and every night he goes to bed and he has this ceremonial knife under his pillow. Just leave him. Just get up and walk out the door. Scripture does not say you can't do that. No, she wanted him dead because she wanted the insurance money. Now, was that God's will? I wasn't even going to pray that prayer because I was going to step back because of the lightning bolt. You know what I'm saying? If you don't know whether it's God's will or not, get in your Bible and look it up. And if you follow those six things, you can ask what you will, and it will be given to you in the name of Jesus. So then the second piece of that, I'm going to try to get as far as I can. Knock requires action. Although asking and seeking are of great importance, they would be incomplete without knocking. Hey! I want this! Let me in! You have to be passionate about what you want from the Lord. See, the Apostle John said that Christian ought not to love in word alone, but in actions also. And in the same way, it's good to pray and seek God, but if one does not also act in ways that are pleasing to God, all is for naught. The commands are followed by this promise in Matthew 7 and 8. Everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened, because God delights in the prayer of faith, and he promises to give us what we need. Now, as we seek after the blessings of the Lord and we find them, they will come back to us with a yield that is comparable to how we are serving God. Are we serving God with 30%, 60%, or 100%? What is your maturity level in God? What are you investing in him? Because that's how your yield is going to come back. That's how it's going to come back. So some of you may be saying, I asked God for things, and I sincerely believed I needed them. I sincerely believed that they were in his will. And as to date, I haven't received any of those. Go back to those six things. Agreement with other Christians. Believe when you ask. Ask in Jesus' name. Abide in the Lord. Keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight, and ask according to his will. And if you meet these six criteria, there is one more thing. One more, let's call it a God filter, that you have to run this through. And I want you to turn with me to James chapter 4, verse 3. Will you guys give me 10 more minutes? I'm gonna pour this into you as quickly as I can pour it into you. James chapter 4, verse 3. James is a little bitty book right after the book of Hebrews in the New Testament. And it says this: you ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. I'm going to say this again. You ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. So you know me, I had to go to the Greek, and I had to get the lexicon out, and I had to take a look at this word amiss, and this is what it says. This is the same Greek word translated lust in the previous verse. Sinful desires and affections stop prayers and the working of our desires toward God. And let us be aware that we do not abuse or misuse the mercies received by the disposition of the heart when prayers are granted. When men ask of God prosperity, they often ask with wrong aims and intentions. If we thus seek the things of this world, it is just in God to deny them. Unbelieving and cold, desires beg denials. And we may be sure that when prayers are rather the language of lusts than of grace, they will return empty. And that is from the Matthew Henry's commentary. So in other words, is your prayer that you are praying to God driven by a greedy or a sinful lust? If it is, expect for God to say no. Now, here's the thing. You say, okay, all right. So why are all of these drug dealers in the world seeming to prosper? There's a good answer to that. You can prosper without God at a level that you can make it happen in the flesh. People go to school, they get better jobs than Christians sitting on the church pews who don't go to school, right? Because we've went to school, we've learned, and we've applied what we've learned. However, here's the thing that I'm looking for. Here's the thing that I believe that you are looking for. I am not looking for anything that I can receive in from a fleshly or a carnal level. I am not looking for things at a level that I can pull out of myself. I am looking for the supernatural, because I can be as dumb as a doornail, and when the Spirit and the anointing of God pours upon me, I'm smarter than the greatest PhD that ever walked out of a Harvard University. Hallelujah. Because God is a God of the supernatural. He does not need what we have in the carnal. He doesn't need. So let me get back so I can finish. I have 5 minutes. The most important aspect of this stage of the workings in Ezekiel's will, which is the hunt, find, wash, clothe, armor, battle, build. Those are the workings in the wheel. What are you going to do with what you find in God? What are you going to do? We've seen this morning all kinds of people who begin to tap into, what am I going to do with the life God gave me, with the breath God gave me, with the new child that God's given me, with children that are feeling like they are called to do things in Christ? What am I going to do with all of those gifts? What am I going to do with children who have natural talents and abilities that may not be the Sunday school teacher at church? Am I going to teach them to honor God with what they've got, or am I just going to tell them, you are a God within yourself, just do everything that you can do? What am I going to do? Jesus said this. Matthew chapter 13, verses 6 and 7. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all he had, and he bought it. See, first he had to seek for the pearls, seek for something that was higher than what we could ever recognize that the world could give us, or that could come up out of ourselves, because we are limited. God is unlimited. We are finite, and God is infinite. We are natural, and God is supernatural. And so when we get into him, we rise to a higher level. First, he had to seek it. And when he did, he realized that it was worth more than anything in the entire world. It moved him to action. He sold it, sold everything that he had, and he bought it. He did something. He rose up and he did something. I'm going to tell you a real story that I found on the internet. I was like, oh my gosh, a Filipino fisherman. I wish Sister Nat was here, because she's from the Philippines. She would shake this. A Filipino fisherman didn't really know what he had when he discovered a record-breaking 75-pound pearl on the ocean floor. He took it home and kept it under his bed for 10 years. Reportedly, the fisherman cast down his anchor only to find it had wedged onto a rock during a storm. And according to Eileen Cynthia Maggie, a tourism officer in the Philippines, the fisherman then had to dive down to free the anchor only to find it wasn't a rock, it was a huge shell. So he brought the shell up to the surface and took it home. This happened in 2006 off the coast of Palaway Island in the Philippines, and the contents of that shell turned out to be a 75-pound giant pearl measuring 1 foot in width and 2.2 feet in length. From that date, the fisherman put the shell under his bed and pretty much forgot about it until now. There was a fire at the fisherman's house and he had to move out, and when he did, he handed his treasure over to the authorities, who then identified the pearl as having originally come from a giant clam. It was worth $100 million. What do you have in your spirit, man? What kind of treasure is in there that can supersede anything that the world has to offer? It can supersede a 75-pound pearl worth $100 million. And are we hiding it? Are we putting it away and not even using it? God is calling you today to use what you have. See, when the world uses up everything that you have to give, they cast you to the side. You're worthless. You got a couple wrinkles, a couple rolls. And they don't want that no more. See, God goes to a higher place with us. And today, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, let me say this to you. He wants to take you places that your heart and your mind cannot imagine if you will take Him by the hand and go with Him. As we close our eyes, I wonder this morning, is there anyone who doesn't know Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior? We're not going to embarrass you in any way, but if you will just slip your hands up, we want to pray for you. Anyone at all? Anyone today who needs something special for God, if you would just slip up your hands. Regardless of what it is, if it's healing, if it's job situations. And I would like for every one of us to just stand to our feet. And let's just begin to pray and to ask God. Because if we ask, we receive. We receive. This is the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We receive. Put your hand up to Jesus and close your eyes. If you're able to stand, stand. If you're not able to stand, we understand nobody's going to point fingers at you or anything. And now just begin to say, Father, in the name of Jesus. And now just talk to Him. Whatever your need is, Lord, I need peace in my home. Lord, I need health in my body. Lord, I need to be able to deal with the things going on in my household. Whatever it is, I need my sons and my daughters saved. I need my grandchildren off of alcohol in the house of the Lord of God, no longer doing drugs, whatever it is, just begin to ask him, because you have not because you ask not. Hallelujah. Let your voice be heard. Be passionate about your prayer this morning. God, we need more workers at Deliverance Tabernacle. We need more teachers. We need more assistants. We need more ushers. We need more altar workers. We need more ministers who are willing to go to the classes and learn about how to cast out devils. God, in the name of Jesus, we need more finances in this church so that we can do something better and bigger with our food bank facility. God, we have need. And we are asking in the name of Jesus Christ for you to meet these needs. Hallelujah. 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 And God is doing that. Somebody gave Brother Butch Montoya or his wife Patsy an envelope. We got back a $230 check for our Thanksgiving outreach. Amen. God is making a way. We not only ask, but we begin to do something. If you want to take an envelope to your employer, they have envelopes at our welcome center that are already put together with a packet and a return envelope in it so that we can give out more turkeys, so that we can reach out to more souls, that we can commit the gospel to more people, that we can snatch a soul from the powers of hell who is lost and dying and on their way to a burning lake of fire because they don't know Jesus Christ. They don't know that they can be saved. They don't know that they can be delivered. They think that they've done too much in order to get out of their situation, but I've got a God, hallelujah, that supersedes anything that man can do and reaches into the supernatural and pulls us up in the name of Jesus. We have Harvest Festival tonight at 6 o'clock. Bring your side dishes. We've got games. We're going to play Human Hungry Hungry Hippos is one of our games. It's going to be fun. We ask that you do not come dressed in Halloween costumes. We do not celebrate Halloween on any level, but you can come in your pajamas. So it's going to be a pajama party. It's going to be a lot of fun. We want you to come to enjoy yourself. Amen. So you have to get home and cook your good side dishes and be back by 6 o'clock. But let me say this to you. Man, I feel like preaching. I had to quit doing it with my foot because I hurt my foot. Woo, I feel like preaching. Amen. Father, you have blessed our coming in. Now bless our going out. God, I thank you for every worker in this church. I thank you for every person who supports this church with their finance or with their presence or with their prayers. God, there are people that can't even get here that supports this church with their prayers. God, we send a word out to them. We thank you, Father. We give you glory and honor in the precious name of Jesus. Don't forget, we're also having both a green chili and a red chili contest. Amen. Bring your red and green chili, and Pastor Marie can tell you how to log those in when you come. God bless you. You're dismissed.
Amen. Amen. So all the red chili, green chili is coming down to the kitchen, okay? And bring your crock pots. They're all going to be covered. Nobody's going to know whose is what. Amen. Put your names on them somewhere where I can see your name so that I can do the wrapping. Okay? Amen. We'll see you tonight. God bless.